It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Already a Wednesday morning, it's the 14th day for February. And joining us for the very first time in 2024 is Eliza Owen, the head of Residential Research Australia at CoreLogic. And welcome back to the Real Estate Podcast. First off, I want to ask you, Eliza, how demanding is it over the Christmas New Year period when you're on your break, you're on your holiday, trying to relax, forget about the real estate altogether, but everybody is asking you for your opinion about the real estate market as if you have a direct portal link into the inevitable outcomes in the unknown world of real estate?
Yeah, there's a lot of people focusing on their strategies for the new year, trying to get ahead of what the outlook is going to be and how they can adapt. And it's, funnily enough, a little bit of a slow time for data too. So I don't always have the clearance rates on hand when auctions haven't quite started up yet. So it's always a busy period and good to be in demand.
Well, yeah, it's always good to be in demand. So what's kind of like the number one question that people ask you over the Christmas New Year? What's that that burning issue?
Am I going to be able to afford to buy this year? Where should I buy this year? Are property prices going to rise? Are they going to fall? Those are the kinds of questions that we get. Overall, I think when it comes to 2024, we're probably looking at a year of two halves, you know, definitely softer economic conditions, which could influence weaker prices. Sydney looking flat over the past few months, for example. But, you know, as we'll probably talk about today, there's more firm predictions for a change in the cash rate, which could actually boost property value performance towards the end of the year. So it'll be an interesting one, no matter what happens.
Yes, I think 2024 for sure. Lock yourselves in because it might be a year where the market really does change with a couple of rate cuts if that happens. All right, I want to talk about the housing market in Australia. It's often viewed as undersupplied with a reported shortfall of over 100,000 dwellings by 2028. That is according to the Housing Australia. Despite perceived undersupply, certain dwelling markets experience declines in value. So I just want you to explain the discrepancy between perceived oversupply and undersupply lies in distinguishing between the market for purchasing housing and the need for housing as a place to live. So perhaps just explain that to our listeners this morning.
Yeah, so this question kind of came off the back of someone asking me if housing is so critically undersupplied, as the government is saying, and, you know, as the dominant narrative around housing is, how is it that house prices can sometimes fall? So it comes from understanding that there's a difference between the demand and supply for the purchase of housing, which is influenced by things like interest rates, income, consumer sentiment, economic performance, and the demand and supply of just having enough dwellings for people to live in, which is probably more reflective of things like rates of homelessness, trends in the rental market, and wait lists for social housing. They're two very different concepts, and they help us to reconcile that idea that the price for purchasing property can go up and down, even if overall the amount of housing still isn't adequate for the amount of people that need them.
Okay, and let's have a look at Melbourne then, staying in this lane. Demand from those needing housing remains strong, evident, of course, in the low rental vacancy rates and increased rent values from last year particularly.
Yeah, Melbourne's a great illustration where there were about 81,000 dwelling sales in 2023. And that's actually under the level of supply, if you like, in the purchasing market, where there were 90,000 new properties listed over the same period. But all that tells us is that there wasn't as much demand to purchase housing as there was stock available. If you look at other aspects of demand and supply for housing, like you alluded to the rental market, the vacancy rate across Melbourne was less than 1% at the end of last year, compared to a 2.5% average. Rent values in Melbourne soared another 11% over the year. And Homes Victoria data suggests statewide there was a 5% increase in new housing applicants resulting from homelessness in the year to June. So again, this is an illustration that while the purchasing market is quite weak, the actual need for housing remains critical.
And we are talking real estate with Eliza Owen, head of Residential Research Australia at CoreLogic this morning. We'll come back. We'll talk more real estate after this.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
Well, between 2016 and 2021, Sydney witnessed a departure of approximately 35,000 individuals aged between 30 and 40, as reported by the New South Wales Productivity Commission. Housing affordability, of course, emerged as a key factor driving this exodus. This trend carries, they say, significant workforce implications, with Sydney potentially facing the risk of becoming the city with no grandchildren. And the city's loss of twice as many individuals aged between 30 and 40 as Sydney gains underscores the urgency for action to address the housing challenge. So there is a comment we've never heard before, the city with no grandchildren. So be warned, I guess, that's what could be facing Sydney down the track. Right, let's go to Melbourne this morning, and patiently waiting is Michael Townsend, and he has got a property tip for us. And good morning to you, Michael.
Very good morning. My property tip is around people bidding at auction and potentially bidding this weekend at auction is to have a plan. I mean, that might sound pretty obvious, but the plan I recommend is to never end on a round number. So many of the auctions I call and so many from my team that we see that someone will have a budget in their mind, which they should, and then end on it. We're talking whether it's $1 million, if it's $2 million, or even if it's $500,000. The amount of property we see knocked down to a successful bidder who just has another 3,000 or another five, so that property price potentially becomes $2,005,000, and they stop the competition because they have had that round number in their head.
Yes, that is a great property tip, especially if you are attending an auction this coming weekend. Some very good advice.
Listen to in-depth discussions with industry leaders on investing options, understanding different suburbs with insider perspectives and exclusive tips.
And we are back on your Real Estate Wednesday talking to Eliza Owen. And Eliza, understanding the nuances in 2024 of housing supply and demand definitely informs policy responses and market expectations, particularly regarding the sensitivity of buyer demand to changes in interest rates and affordability. Those nuances, I think that they're set to continue, aren't they, for 2024?
Yeah, so I guess what this alludes to, especially in the context of a potential reduction in the cash rate, is that we know that fundamentally there's a lot of demand for housing, but housing in the purchasing market could increase if we get an interest rate reduction, because that would presumably increase borrowing capacity for people in the rental market. It could make housing look more affordable from the perspective of ongoing mortgage costs. So that's why I think households could be sensitive to a change in the demand parameters around purchases this year.
Yeah, and I mentioned yesterday that the Governor Michelle Bullock wasn't ruling anything in or out when it comes to the rate cuts or a possible rate hike. And it's probably just a condition of a lot of unpredictable aspects globally that can go horribly wrong. You know, just throw that curveball at us. So it's almost, do you think, almost, I'm almost asking you an impossible question here, but it's almost impossible for the governor of the RBA to say that this year we will see those rate cuts, which I did mention yesterday.
Yeah, I think the RBA has been incredibly careful about forward guidance on the cash rate, given what we saw in the pandemic, where forward guidance kind of alluding to the cash rate remaining low until 2024 didn't really eventuate, and the market remains very unpredictable in that way. But as private economists, we are perhaps a little more free to speculate. And the fact that inflation has been coming down quicker than expected has been firming up a lot of the views that a cash rate reduction this year is not a question of if, but when. And for a lot of the major banks, they're expecting that those cash rate reductions could kick off from late Q3 or potentially sometime toward the end of the year.
Yeah, I mentioned just how quickly things can change too. We get a couple of rate cuts, and boy, that can really make a bang for 2024, can't it?
Certainly can. I mean, it's probably important to be aware that the RBA still wouldn't find another rise in housing values ideal or another upswing a good outcome, because it can have wealth effects and sort of reinflate the economy in some ways. We might also see some other parameters introduced around demand, whether that's the banking regulator putting more emphasis on debt-to-income ratios, things like that, just to make sure that even if we do get a reduction in the cash rate, the lending environment remains conservative overall.
And what about you there at CoreLogic? We're into 2024. You do these reports, of course, every year. No doubt you have a roundtable when you get back together last month and you start talking about, well, I wonder if we should do a report on this or on that. So is that something that you kind of discuss in terms of where those reports are going to be dropping for 2024 and what you're going to be discussing?
Yeah, we have regular reports that we put out, like the regional market updates, rental reports, and pain and gain reports. So those are all accessible on the website and they're dropped on a quarterly basis. But absolutely, we'll be looking out for any curveballs that come up in the year ahead and just looking to respond to those as they come.
All right, we'll leave it there. Eliza Owen from CoreLogic, thanks for that. And thank you for coming back on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. Enjoy your Wednesday.
Thank you. You too.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
What were your observations when you look back over 2023's interest rate nightmare?
I think if it was just interest rate rises only, a lot of loan holders would have been able to manage. But we're just starting now to see the real trouble come into the market, where we're getting forced sales, we're getting a significant proportion of property investors liquidate their portfolio or some of it earlier than they'd expected. So the interest rate rises have impacted on a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, but we're going to see all of that feed into 2024.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.